If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be back. It's been some time since I've had the wonderful pleasure of being with you. Personal situation, I've been away. And now we're back, and I'm thrilled that Craig is here to run the show with me. And a very good Erev Shabbos to all of you. And while I was gone, we entered the fourth book of the five books of the Torah, the book of Bamidbar, also known as the Book of Numbers. And Bamidbar is, well, as every other part of Torah, an interesting book. Interesting in the sense that it tells us a great many stories, not all of them exciting and good stories. Exciting, perhaps, but not good. Because very often we see the weak side of the Israelites, how they tested God again and again and again. They came to moments of challenge where they simply couldn't meet the challenge of the moment, and they showed weakness, or what appeared to be weakness. And this is why Bamidbar is that section of Torah that needs to be studied with tremendous care, with a tremendous sense of personal insight. And I say this because we, the Jewish people, are in challenging times. We are in challenging times because, once again, the world has turned on us. And it's strange. One wonders, what's happened? What did we do wrong? What has happened that the world has turned on? The world loves us when we're victims. The world loves us when we're down and out. But the minute we stand up and defend ourselves, the minute we stand up and we act as Jews who should act in terms of being strong and proud, the world seems to accuse us of all sorts of terrible things. And what happens at that point is that often many or perhaps some Jews become frightened. They don't want to be accused by the nations of the world or individuals within the nations of the world of doing terrible things. But we're not doing terrible things. We're defending ourselves. We're defending ourselves against people who are behaving badly, people who've shown the worst type of human action, people who've behaved like terrorists in the worst possible way. Israel, its defense force, the Jewish people, not only have every right, but every duty, every responsibility to defend themselves and to rid themselves of a constant threat to their very existence. Is that why so many in the world hate us? I've been overseas and I've seen it firsthand, the anti-Semitism, the hatred. Where does it come from? And it's not only because of this or that or the other. I've spoken about it so many times. It's simply because there is a problem. They have a problem with the existence of the Jewish people. And even though the Jewish people have often bent over backwards to accommodate the nations of the world and the notions of the nations of the world, it doesn't satisfy them. And this is why we have to stand proud and strong, unafraid. We have to look the nations of the world in the eye and say and demonstrate through action, we are here to stay. God gave us the Torah at Sinai. God said very clearly, you are my people. I'm charging you with the duty of bringing a sense of decency, of ethics, of morality, of goodness into this world. I'm charging you with the responsibility of being a light unto the nations in this world. And the world are going to try all sorts of tricks and ruses to somehow derail you from that incredibly important and holy mission. They're going to make you feel bad. They're going to make you feel small. They will attack you physically, emotionally, spiritually. But you have to stand strong. This is what Bamidbar is all about. Facing the challenges as they come along. And not being frightened by the challenges. Not being crushed by the difficulties when they appear, and they do appear in each and every single generation. We have to know that we have the inner strength. We have the blessing of God. We have the incredible, miraculous history to back us up. And this is why we have to reach out to each and every one of our brothers and sisters and say, in speech and action, be strong. Don't fall into the trap of allowing yourself to become a victim, of allowing yourself to become influenced by the destructive talk of the nations of the world. Sometimes they themselves don't really know what they're saying. They are manipulated as well by all sorts of clever, devious elements. Bamidbar, the Torah was given in a wilderness with good reason, because we have to transform that wilderness into a beautiful garden, and it's difficult. A wilderness is a barren place. Rain doesn't fall. Nothing grows naturally. To transform a wilderness into a place of beauty takes tremendous strength and fortitude, attitude. It takes tremendous strength, faith, trust in God, human effort. That's what we need right now. And that's why we have to look at the headlines of the world and say, I am not impressed. I don't care what you say. I don't care what names you call me. I don't care how you belittle me. I will defend what is right and what is holy. I will defend my people. I will stand strong with my people. And I appeal to my own people to join me in standing strong and not to allow those who try to silence me and cripple me, to influence me with negativity and hurt, to break my faith, my trust, my strength, my eternity. Bamidbar, the desert. All sorts of dangerous things live in a desert. All sorts of challenges appear in a desert. This is the book of Bamidbar. Bamidbar is also Numbers, where each and every single individual counts. It's not some sort of general thing. It's a union, a combination, where each and every single individual counts. And this is why every time one of our own falls, we are heartbroken. We grieve. It's not another statistic. It's not another news item. It's our own. And we are deeply saddened. And this is why we listen to the news differently. We hear those reports differently. We're not interested in nonsensical analysis. This is our destiny. This is our future. It's our past. It's our own. Bamidbar. Yes, I was away for a couple of months now. And I'm sorry I didn't have the opportunity of sharing these thoughts with you again and again and again. To share ideas of trust and faith and hope and continuity. But this is what you're going to hear from me again and again and again. Words of Torah that will bring light and life and hope. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
How do we actually accomplish something like that? Where do we get the strength? Where do we get the inner strength to stand up? Not only now, but generation after generation after generation. Where do we have the strength to do this for thousands of years? We look to the Torah. How does the Parsha begin? Parsha begins with God instructing Aaron to kindle the menorah, the candelabrum, in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle. Rashi tells us something interesting. Aaron was deeply disappointed. All the heads of the tribes, all 12, brought a gift during the inauguration of the temple. And Aaron felt that he, as the head of the tribe of the priests, the Kohanim and the Levi'im, they didn't bring a gift. And he felt disappointed. God turns to Aaron and says, have no worries, because your service is greater than theirs. Because you on a daily basis will prepare and kindle the menorah. The question is, why was Aaron so disappointed? And what was God's answer? And why was God's answer so powerful that it actually enlivened Aaron? As mentioned, Aaron was disappointed because the inauguration of the temple. What a moment. What a moment in history. The temple represents how God forgave the Jewish people for the terrible sin of the golden calf. God forgave the Jewish people for rebelling against him. And he said, yes, you can now build a house for me. I will dwell among you. And each tribe brought these magnificent gifts. And Aaron felt that he, as the high priest, the family that would serve and minister within the temple, they should be included in this incredible moment, the inauguration of the Mishkan, of the tabernacle itself. He was disappointed. But what does God say? God says, on a daily basis, you're going to do something that is equal, if not greater, than the gifts that the heads of the tribes brought at the inauguration of the temple. And what was that? The daily kindling, lighting of the menorah. Let's look at the menorah. The menorah had seven arms, seven lamps. Our Kabbalists, our Hasidic masters, particularly the Baal HaTanya, the first Chabad Rebbe, in his great book, Likutei Torah, tells us that each one of those lamps represents a different emotional dimension within the human person. One represents chesed, kindness, another gevura. We, not so long ago, went through the whole process of the sefira, and every night we looked at a different emotional dimension. We have seven. Each one of the lamps represents a different emotional power that we possess. And the lamps represent those elements that we have to perfect. Sometimes we're not even aware that we have them. But if we look closely into our souls, if we look closely into that dimension of life that we possess, not on a superficial level, but if we actually look into life, if we use our intellect correctly, if we begin to understand ourselves correctly, we will discover incredible powers that we possess. Tragically, most people, unfortunately, don't spend enough time, or sometimes don't have the right resources to actually look into themselves correctly. They don't use a Torah perspective. They don't use a Kabbalistic or Hasidic perspective. And they never have the chance, they've never been taught, to understand what their soul is, what their soul possesses, the intellectual powers, the emotional powers. And because of that, they never recognize the treasure, the wealth of incredible strength that they possess. The menorah, the seven branches, the seven arms, the seven lamps, each one of them represents a different, extremely powerful element that we need to illuminate in order that we become complete people, to have fortitude, to have strength, to have victory, to have kindness, to have severity, to have a combination of all those, and to pass those qualities on to the next generation. We can't overlook those things, and if we do, unfortunately, to our own peril. This is what the menorah represents. But sometimes we possess something, but it's hidden. It's like a beautiful, beautiful candle. It has a wick. It has the cup that holds the oil. But it has no flame. It has no fire. It has no passion. It doesn't illuminate. It doesn't bring any warmth or light. It has to be ignited. God says to Aaron, the high priest, what you are going to be doing every single day is you're going to kindle the menorah. You're going to ignite those incredible powers. You're going to bring light to those incredible energies within the soul of each and every single Jew. And every single day it will be as if that's the first time it's been done. Not you do it once and it remains forever. But you're going to have the power to reach out to everyone, ignite their fire, create that passion, so that each and every single person begins to serve God with a different type of energy, with a different type of flame, with a different type of power. His Jewish identity and strength and pride comes to the fore with incredible, incredible energy. And why is that possible? It's possible because the menorah itself was made from one solid block of gold. Yes, it was beaten into seven arms, into a magnificent menorah candelabrum. But it comes from one solid block. It wasn't soldered together with different pieces. One solid block. Each and every one of those seven qualities, when they begin to look at their source, they are absolutely united. They come together as one. That's what the soul is. The soul is connected to God in absolute unity. That's where the strength comes from. But the only way those seven qualities are able to recognize that unity, they come from one solid block of pure gold, is when it's ignited. And that's what Aaron does. And that's why Aaron was absolutely delighted with the duty, the responsibility, the gift that he was given. That's what God says. Your gift to the temple, to the tabernacle, is far greater. What the heads of the tribes have done is wonderful, but they did it one time at the inauguration. You will do it on a daily basis. And the lesson that we learn from that is every single day we wake up, we have to light that fire. We have to ignite those flames, those energies, those midot, those emotions, so that they are able to be used in a positive and powerful way, so that we can meet the challenges of life. Yesterday we didn't have these challenges. Today we do. And therefore we need greater and stronger power to overcome the difficulties of these challenges. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to feel guilty of. Yes, they can call us names, and they will call us names, and they've always called us names. But we have nothing to be ashamed of. What we are doing is just and correct and proper and holy. We are defending the lives of our own people. Others turn their backs on us. We defend ourselves. And we have a history of generations to prove that we are doing what is right. How many sacrifices do we have to make? How many pogroms do we have to endure? How many holocausts do we have to live through? How many October 7s do we have to endure? How many? How many? How many tragedies do we have to stand by? How many funerals do we have to go to of young men and women? But we need the strength. We need authentic Jewish strength, not arrogance, not bold hurrahs, authentic Jewish strength. And we have to light the right fire within us, that passion, the menorah within us. Our souls have to be revived. And the way we revive our souls is through Torah study, the performance of mitzvot, the support that we give to our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, to the IDF. This is what we have to do. And we have to do it with passion, with love, with excitement, with goodness, and sharing to the nth degree with whatever we have. Can't turn a blind eye. Can't ignore. And we can't ignore ourselves. We can't ignore what we possess. We can't turn a blind eye to those inner gifts that God gave us. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
So we're talking about this incredible Parsha, of how to awaken those incredible gifts that we possess, how to light that fire, how to ignite the flame, how to take advantage of those gifts that God gave us. And the name of the Parsha is Behalotcha. Behalotcha. God could have used, the Torah could have used all sorts of other terms to speak about lighting a fire, Behalotcha, to elevate, to raise the fire, that it begins burning on its own, that it begins to, well, glow, show the way, create the passion on its own. And yet when we take a look at the Parsha, there are two stories, many stories, but there are two that need to be explained. Number one is when it speaks about the Korban Pesach, and there were certain people who couldn't bring the Korban Pesach, the Passover sacrifice, because they were in a state of, impurity. And they said, Lamanigora. They came to Moshe and said, why should we be denied the incredible opportunity of bringing the Korban Pesach? And Moshe felt that they were justified in that claim. And he went to God and said, what should we do? And God said, they are justified, and they will have the opportunity to do it a month later. In other words, never lost. You always have a chance. We've spoken about that so many times. Pesach Sheni, a month after Pesach, those who didn't have the opportunity first time around have the chance to do it, even though perhaps they may have, well, messed up because they were careless a little bit. But yes, they have the chance. Behalotcha. Elevate the fire, even though perhaps you didn't behave as well as you should. But toward the end of the parsha, we come across a different type of story. A story that took place at a place that is known as Kivrot HaTaava, the graves of well, wrong passion. The Jewish people behaved badly. They were mitonanim, grumblers, complainers. They remembered the free and wonderful and good food they had in Egypt. Can you believe that? Nothing was free in Egypt. They were enslaved. They were beaten. They had very little. He said, we remember the good fish and the leeks and the cucumbers and the melons and the wonderful food that we had. And he started complaining, we want to eat meat, flesh. God was furious with him. Is this how you show your gratitude? I supply you with the incredible gift from heaven, the manna, which was available in every single flavor on a daily basis, enough to satisfy them. And this is how you react. Yes, it was a terrible time. And one wonders, how does this fit into the parsha? Because we know, as I explained often, the name of the parsha extends to every single detail of the parsha Bahalotcha. Raising the fire, igniting the fire, creating a passion for godliness. And in this parsha, we read about how the Jewish people behaved so badly. And again, the answer is yes. Even when you behave so badly, and you test God, and God becomes angry with you, and you behave in a way which shows completely, completely ingratitude, you behave in a way where you show God that you really don't appreciate the incredible miracles that he shows you on a daily basis. You deny him, you defy him. What does God say? I'll forgive you. I will forgive you. Not only I'll forgive you, but what happens afterwards is I'll elevate you to a higher level. And this is what we have to remember. Yes, we've made mistakes. And probably make mistakes again. But even though we make mistakes, it doesn't mean that this is the end. We have the opportunity of returning. And when we return to a far higher level, Bahalotcha. That flame within us, that fire within us, can always be ignited, can always be lighted, lit. It can always be brought to the fore. Those incredible gifts that I spoke about before, they're very real. They're within us, not outside of us. Those seven arms of the candelabra, of the menorah, each and every one of us possesses that. And if we begin to investigate and follow the route from where they come, we'll begin to see one solid block of gold, absolute unity, oneness with God. Because that's what our soul is all about. Our neshama is a chelik aleikam imal mamish. It's part and parcel of God himself, our sages tell us. That's never lost. That's never contaminated. That's never destroyed. And this is why in challenging times we have to dig deep. We have to dig deep to bring out those incredible strengths that we have. Hope, trust, faith. But all of it with a sense of joy as well. Not in a difficult sort of way. Not in a way, well, in a begrudging sort of way. But with joy. With a tremendous sense of passion and love for God, for each other, to stand up and tell the world, we are here. We are here and we are going to remain. We are going to remain with a tremendous sense of greatness and goodness, because that's who we are. We will bring light to the world. The high priest Aaron was charged with a duty of kindling the menorah, and each and every one of us has that power now, and that's precisely what we're going to do when the forces of evil and darkness want to bring evil and darkness to the world. We will respond with goodness and with light, powerful light, tremendous acts of goodness, because that's who we are. And this is why this parsha is so incredibly important, particularly now, at this moment in Jewish history, when the challenges are great, when the opposition appears to be powerful, but they're not. They only appear to be powerful. We are far more powerful. Good Shabbos.